Want a recipe for success? Step one, visit OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses. Step two, click on my link to browse OCD Training School's amazing course catalog. Step three, enroll. And step four, enjoy learning. With no added cost to you, you can support the OCD family community while grabbing some continuing education or learning how to bridge yourself to self-help strategies for OCD. Again, that's OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses and use my special link to sign up today. Hey fam, welcome back to the pod for day 3 of 5, catching up at the water cooler. Today is a special episode for all our parents, partners, and support people out there, especially if you have a loved one with OCD heading off to college soon. We know transitions can shake things up, so let's talk about 6 ways you can support your OCD warrior during this big shift without overstepping or letting OCD run the show. Number one, start the conversation early. Chances are you already are talking about it, if not both thinking about it. But there is no time like the present to begin talking about how OCD might show up during college, whether it's impacting academics, social life, or shared spaces. These conversations can help you and your loved one name the fears and start building a plan that isn't avoidance-based. If they're going to college, then they're going to go. The goal isn't to avoid, it's to embrace. Number two, build a treatment plan. Ideally, you can partner with a clinician to map out how you can use your evidence-based therapy tools, because here, there, or anywhere, tools can travel with you. If your loved one is not in treatment yet, now's a great time to start, because the goal is to empower our loved ones. We may want and desire to protect them, but we cannot protect them from OCD. OCD is functioning in the brain, and the best support we can provide our loved ones is empowering them to know how to manage it. So whether they're traveling across town, across the state, or across the world, knowing how you can build that treatment plan and have that support in place is really important. But just a quick reminder, this isn't therapy. This is the fam hanging out, talking college transitions, or even leaving the nest. A lot of the same principles apply. And it leads us into our third point, adjacent but a little bit different. Plan for a care community. How can your loved one be connected? Isolation is a petri dish for intrusive fears. So how can they connect on campus? What are their interests? Are there groups involving that? But this isn't just for them, fam. It's for you too. Who is your care community? Do you have any family support groups where you can go, gosh, I'm anxious about this? Or what do I do if they call freaking out in the middle of the night? How can I manage this? Your care community is not second to your loved one's care community. Everyone is affected by OCD and everyone deserves support. So knowing where support lies ahead of time can help ease anxiety and build confidence for both you and your loved one. And that brings us to number four, time to practice some life skills. Laundry, meds, budgeting, setting appointments, figuring out how to access said appointments. These are all a part of daily living. And to some extent, your loved one may do these efficiently and well. But if you zoom out, you might also realize that you do a lot of this for your loved one. If they want to go be independent, then they have to learn how to be independent. And these important learning lessons are big wins in the road towards independent living. But they're also often OCD battlegrounds. Sometimes you may have heard the statistic of when children leave the home, or adult children for that matter, OCD can ramp up. Often it's because we don't realize how the environment that we have created and crafted at home, slowly and over time, has provided some comfort to OCD. So allowing the opportunity and empowering our loved ones that they can do these things are huge. And practicing ahead of time reduces the overwhelm and helps to build self-trust for when they are on their own. Number five, know about accommodations, but, big but, avoid over-accommodating. Yes, official disability accommodations like extended test time or quiet rooms can be helpful and sometimes, depending on the case, necessary. But here's the thing. I really caution you to avoid setting up special living situations or routines purely to soothe OCD, like requesting a single room because of contamination fears or avoiding communal dining. I can't tell you how many times that I've heard either myself or from my colleagues, clients or families reaching out to us and saying, hey, therapist, can you please write a letter requesting that my loved one can live independently or can have said accommodation when they move out or they go to campus, you name it. And I understand the ask. I understand. Because you see how much your loved one, perhaps, is battling to stay above water in your own home environment. So what will happen if they have to share a dorm room with a less mindful, maybe forgetful, or uninterested roomie? But here's the thing. If the accommodation that you're requesting protects OCD instead of challenging it, then that is fodder for it to become a gatekeeper for your loved one's own torture. And in isolation, away from you, away from everyone else, OCD tends to get more and more bossy, more and more restrictive. Our goal is to want to support their growth, not implement strategies that are going to shrink their world. And if it's going to rock OCD, then maybe that's exactly what they need. Your loved one has made this decision to want to pursue or engage in college life. It's a great goal. And so facing those challenges, rather than hiding, avoiding, or compulsing around them, is in their best interest. And then lastly, number 6, we want to encourage autonomy. So let's let our loved ones take the lead when possible. It's going to be really hard, particularly if you have been battling through the last couple of years, hormonal changes, all the things that have been amplifying and screaming torture when it comes to OCD. But we need to resist the urge to check in constantly or to solve every spiral. Whether they're still living at home, attending a community college, across town, across the state, or across the world. Saying things like, I know you can handle this, or I trust your tools. I trust you. That belief in their ability to handle things sends a powerful message. You've got this, and I've got your back. And to that end, reminding yourself that you too have got this. You can handle this. It makes a huge difference. Okay, so too long, don't read version. College is a big deal, and it's okay to feel all the feels. But with some planning, support, and space, your OCD warrior can thrive. You can thrive. And hey, a gentle reminder, you're not alone. There's a whole community here cheering you on from both sides of the dorm room door. Sending someone you love into a new season is hard, but supporting them doesn't mean shielding them. It means walking beside them as they stretch and giving you some room to stretch too. This is a new opportunity for them, but it's also a new chapter for you. So take a breath. Know you are seen because we're better together. Therapists, ready to shape the future of pediatric OCD treatment? Join the Next Steps in Pediatric OCD on-demand course from Angela Adamson Springer, LCSW, and learn how to adapt inference-based cognitive behavioral therapy for kids. With research still emerging, this course empowers you to explore new methods and contribute to the growing field of evidence-based practices. With OCD Training School's 365-day access for on-demand courses, you'll gain practical tools to help kids by adapting ICBT's signature 12 modules to be as creative as the kiddos you're treating. So sign up at OCDFamilyPodcast.com/courses to support the podcast at no extra cost and support further growth and hope for our youngest of warriors.